let's say. Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be together, to read your word and to rejoice and sing your praise. We hear what you have to say to us this morning about the cost of discipleship. And just really reflect on our lives and our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The program, Who Do You Think You Are? And other similar series has become very popular, with celebrities and the ordinary person in the street finding out where they come from by examining their DNA. This quite often turns out to be surprising, emotional, and eye-opening. Knowing who you are, where you come from, and all the stuff in between can be exciting and sometimes quite shocking. If you were asked to describe Jesus in one sentence, what would you say? Shall I put you on the spot? No, I don't think I'd do that. There are so many wonderful things about him, so many different and important aspects of his person. But what do you think he would like you to say if you only had a few words? A couple of verses before our actual reading for today, Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say I am? You just knew, didn't you, that if anyone was going to break the awful silence that surely fell when Jesus confronted his disciples, it was going to be Peter. What we don't know is whether Jesus was conducting research or testing them. In other words, was he looking for one particular right answer, or was he open to a variety of responses? Peter's response was quite literally inspired. But though his insight into Jesus being the Christ, the anointed one, was God-given, his understanding of what it was that Jesus was anointed by God to do was all his own, with not a little help from the cultural climate of the day. Rejecting Jesus's talk of suffering and death, Peter was guilty of attempting to mold Jesus into a Messiah of his own making, one who would save God's people by overthrowing the occupying Romans. The severity of Jesus' rebuke and his subsequent insistence on the way of suffering, not only for him, but also for all who would follow him, are a forceful reminder to Peter and to all readers of the gospel, that's all of us here, that in Christian discipleship it is we who are to be transformed into his likeness, not he into ours. This is why Peter is so shocked when Jesus begins to speak about his forthcoming death, that he rebukes him. Now, this is the first time that Jesus has mentioned this, and it wasn't what they were expecting at all. Like Peter, and later Paul, we only understand God and his ways in part. Remember from 1 Corinthians 13? Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. Now we see things imperfectly, with puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. So let us remember this and not lecture God about what he should do and should not do. The cost of discipleship, our title of today's service, must be taken very seriously. As he says in Mark, in our reading this morning, if any of you wants to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in this adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. These words are worthy of serious reflection by any Christian, but perhaps particularly by those of us who live in the affluent nations of our world. They state quite clearly that the life of discipleship is a life of self-denial. Why then do we have so much stuff? They imply that it is often in the pursuit of all that this world has to offer that an eternity with God is lost. And why then do we have so much stuff? The rich young man who came to Jesus seeking eternal life was told to sell all his stuff in order to follow Jesus. So then why do we have so much stuff? On what grounds do we decide that this rich man's stuff was so obviously a greater barrier to authentic discipleship than ours? Now let me state straight away that there is nothing wrong with wealth. It's how we view it and use it which is so important. In today's gospel, we see Jesus stretching the hearts and minds of his followers. Up until this point, the focus of the gospel had been on Jesus' authority and power. Now it stretches to rejection, pain, and death. His followers begin to see the fullness of what it means for Jesus the Messiah, and they do not like it. Jesus' rebuke suggests that his beloved disciple Peter simply doesn't know what he is talking about. Peter is seeking a worldly power and satisfaction that will never last, while Jesus is offering a life that is full and eternal. Quite simply, it means that the way to this life in which our deepest desires will be fulfilled is to let go of our desires, the things we grasp and hold close. The way to life in all its fullness is to follow Jesus, and this is not simply an intellectual exercise. It is not about affirming what we believe with our lips, but about showing what we believe by the way we live. If we say that Jesus is Christ, then we need to let him be Christ. His life, especially as it is told in the second half of this gospel, shows us that being Christ is all about letting go of power. It is about self-sacrifice, putting the needs of others before our own, and loving as we want to be loved. Jesus does not call us to reject ourselves. God loves us, so we must love ourselves too. Jesus calls us to reject our shallowness so that we can live lives of depth and meaning. If we cling onto ourselves, we will lose our real selves. We find out who we are by learning who Jesus is. You know, my friends, being a Christian isn't easy. Jesus told us to take up your cross and follow him. What might this mean for us today? Following him may and can bring trouble, persecution and ridicule. We know our brothers and sisters across the world who are persecuted because of their faith in Jesus. Who does ridicule us? Members of our family and close friends so easily mock us, cause heartache and distress. I've experienced it many times, and I'm sure you have too. It usually goes like this. You don't believe all that stuff, do you? It's just a crutch because life is tough. How can you believe in a God of love when there is so much suffering? As I was writing this in my study, I looked around me. What was there? Lots of books, mostly study Christian ones because it is my study. Precious photos, a bed, bookshelves, bedside table, and a chest of drawers. in them stuff. What was my Lord saying to me? To you, if you did the same. In one sense, have we denied ourselves in order to follow Christ? Again, I say, it's not wrong to have nice things. It's just how we view them. So what might this mean for us today? Perhaps there is a step of faith for you to take. Or perhaps there is something or someone you are holding too tightly. So hear Jesus' promise that those who lose their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. The gospel is the way of love. It may be that not just your life will be saved, but for the lives of others as well. To follow the way of Jesus may be costly, painful, and self-sacrificial, but it is also the only way to freedom, true love, and real life. These are the gifts God gives, and they are everlasting. Amen.